fighting for America.
The word is now that the Attorney General will resign today, and that he has served our country very, very well.
Wow.
The Attorney General will be submitting his resignation to the President.
Fighting for Idaho.
I don't know for sure who we're arming. I'm not sure that a year or 2 years from now, those weapons won't be turned on us. I'm very uncomfortable with what's going on there.
Fighting for you.
Good morning, Kevin. I just admire you to no end. You keep doing the right things. Having you out there and promoting the things that you promote is sure a blessing.
Boise's Mr. Right, winner of the 2014 Marconi Radio Award. Kevin Miller in the morning.
Stay on top and stay strong.
On 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Good morning, 580 KIDO. Kevin Miller in the morning. Phone numbers 580-5436. 580-KIDO. You can always reach us at kevin@kidoam.com on Facebook and everything else. We're joined now by our great friend, Nagmaid Abedini. Nagmaid, good morning.
Good morning, Kevin.
Well, I wish we were talking under better circumstances. Can you give us an update of the latest with your husband, Pastor Saeed, ma'am?
Well, in a few days, on September 26th, will be 2 years since he's been in prison in Iran, and he's not doing so well. His mom got to visit him last Wednesday, and he usually they have a 20-minute visitation, and he made it halfway through. He had some pain and issues in his stomach and couldn't do the whole visit, which is rare. He usually tries to do the 20-minute, and so it's been hard that knowing that he continues to spend years, you know, the years are going by with him in prison, and he's still not out yet.
Still not out yet, and you want to call attention to this coming up this week.
Yes, over around 500 cities have joined, and I think over 30 countries, and we'll be doing a prayer vigil across the globe, almost 500 cities just in the U.S. And I'll be doing one. There'll be one in Boise in front of the state capitol at 6 p.m. on September 26th. And then the kids and I will be at the one in D.C. with Reverend Franklin Graham right at the White House. So I do hope that to bring more attention and pressure. And then, of course, a couple days after that, I'll be speaking at the Value Voter Summit in D.C. and with Mike Huckabee and Glenn Beck and a whole lot of Sarah Palin, a lot of other people that will be speaking at that summit as well. My hope is to continue to put pressure both on our government and on the Iranian government to do something and release him.
Now, Ahmed, what goes on in your mind? Obviously, you've been very busy. You continue to be busy, and somewhere your husband would like to come home.
Yes, I hope it's soon. You know, the UN just released a report. The working group said that, you know, Saeed's being held unjustly, and Iran's breaking a whole lot of laws by keeping him there, their own laws and also international laws. And they suggested that their remedy was for Iran to release Saeed immediately and to compensate him for the time she spent illegally in that prison. So it's encouraging that other countries are, you know, around the globe are speaking out and saying this is not right. I hope that Iranian government is in the U.S. today, should be arriving, if he hasn't arrived yet, in New York. And I hope that our government takes every opportunity to not just talk about Saeed, but demand his release, immediate release. We've released $7 billion, I think, and I think Iran just needs to release Saeed, whom they've held illegally for over 2 years.
Now, Ahmed, do you ever get philosophical about this, how God has chosen Saeed for this mission and how he's chosen you to be the face and the voice of persecuted Christians around the world?
That's the only reason I can continue, honestly, is that God is in this and he's using this for a bigger purpose. I've spoken to government officials across the world and ambassadors and the United Nations and, you know, so on and so on, our own Congress and parliaments in Europe and so on. And so it's, I can see God's hand. I can see God is using this, you know, horrible situation in our life. And I can see that Saeed is also giving hope to those around him in prison. And, you know, he's leading people to Christ. He's sharing hope with those who are hopeless. And I see a purpose in that. So that's the only thing that makes it easier, especially with being a single mom with two kids who are constantly missing their dad, and as anyone could imagine.
Nagmaid, when you take a look at other Christians around the world that we've talked about before here at 580KIDO and all these other programs that you do, what do you think is going on with the open season on Christians?
Yes, it is. It is open season on Christians. It's at its highest, beheadings and killings all over the world, especially the Middle East, where Christianity was founded, is the Christians are being destroyed. And they either have to move out or they're killed. And we're seeing in Africa, we're seeing all over the world. As a Christian, we're told towards as the time nears the end, there'll be more persecutions. But there's been more persecutions in the last 100 years, and it's ramping up than there has been in the last 2,000 years. And it's amazing how many Christians, over 100,000, are killed persecuted every year.
Nagmaid Abedini with us, Kevin Miller here at 580KIDO, talking about the big prayer rally coming up for her husband, imprisoned pastor Saeed, coming up September 26th around the world and at the state capitol here in Idaho. When we take a look at you, and a lot of people have watched you on local TV, national TV, and on this radio station, but what is it like for you? What will it be like after this interview for you? What goes on in your mind? Because everybody sees you and goes, oh, you're so brave, and we remember we saw you at God and Country, but then you go back to being a private citizen, Nagmaid, for a while. What is that like, the, you know, getting the message out and then waiting for your husband to come home?
You know, our interview, I become a mom, and the normal routines of getting the kids ready for school and doing the school stuff and parent night and so on. And really taking it day at a time, doing what I need to do. And as a mom, and it's emotional. I try really hard to have a strong front. Yeah, there's been a few instances where I've broken in front of media, but in front of the kids, in front of the world, I try to be strong, but I have very emotional days, especially, again, as a mom. It's hard to see my kids suffering. It's hard to imagine Saeed suffering another day in that prison, and no one, you know, there doesn't seem to be much happening with his release, and that's frustrating. I hope Saeed knows that I will not stop. I will continue until he's home. But it's been wearing down on me, definitely. It's been hard. I've traveled in September. I would have traveled at least 5-6 times just in 1 month. And it's hard, but I can't imagine not doing it while Saeed sits in that prison.
Is it possible for you to have parent night? I mean, without the subject of your husband and what you're doing come up?
You know, it does come up. Parents, no, it's not possible. Parents ask teachers, you know, continue to say, oh, you know, how's he doing? We're praying, which is okay. I mean, I it's good to know people are remembering Saeed, but it's just, it's hard. It gets harder that he's still not out yet. And honestly, it's frustrating that we're friends with Iran. We're talking about different issues, and we're getting friendly with Iran. We're not friends with Iran, but we're helping them with sanctions and so on, and they're holding. I mean, I wonder if President Obama's wife or kids were being helped by the Iranian government, if we'd be doing the same thing if we'd be shaking hands and making deals and releasing billions without any mention or any demand for their release. I do think if there was if there is someone who honestly wants Saeed out now, there could be a phone call that could get him home. I don't think our government's really pursuing that. I've actually heard it through the grapevine. They're not really pursuing that and are, you know, telling others to back off because the nuclear talk is more important for them. So I do feel that Saeed's abandoned and our family. And so that's why I'm one of the reasons I'm doing the prayer vigil is ultimately God's in control and can twist arms of our government and the Iranian government. None of those don't seem to be really motivated to release Saeed.
That's where the power of prayer comes in?
Yes, that's why I think no matter what's going on with the politics, with our government, with the Iranian government, ultimately God is in control. And so when we get together, we've seen the Bible and the book of Acts, people, the believers got together and prayed, and Peter was released miraculously. And so, you know, ultimately that's what I'm relying on. I can't. My hope is in God, and that's why it's so important for people to come and join us on this day of prayer on First Sight and the persecuted Christians. That's where the power comes from. Governments might not be motivated to do much, but with prayer, things change.
580 KIDO, our great friend Nagmeet Abedini with us here, Kevin Miller in the morning, detailing how you can help her with this prayer vigil, how you can help Saeed. Nagmeet, this ISIS group, the last time we talked, Saeed was very concerned about them because they are in the prison. When you hear about ISIS, what goes on in your mind?
They're still in the prison. They do not like Saeed. That's why I think it's just even that more urgent for our government to get Saeed out and not just make statements. They're still in that prison. They don't like Saeed because he's a convert and he's an American, and they don't really care if they do something to him and something happens to them. So Saeed's really under a lot of pressure in that prison because of their presence, and it has limited his activities. Even in his own cell, they've showed up a few times, and it's made it even more tense. And that's why it's, you know, that's why it's even more urgent to get Saeed out. And ISIS, I can't even describe my feelings. It's evil, pure evil, what they're doing. And can't imagine this day and age, such people exist with such evil intent and I can't, you know, they're horrific massacres and murders. And I'm surprised the whole world's not crashing on them. And, I'm really surprised that, you know, I mean, to give, you know, some kind of benefit for our government, we've done something, but just to see the whole world, you know, not doing anything, not doing much, it's a few, you know, tens of thousands of militants, but I think if the world united, we could, you know, get rid of them. But, you know, I think it's complicated because they call themselves an Islamic State, and I think that's what makes it complicated, because it could touch nerve with a lot of Muslims, and it could become a bigger deal if it's not handled properly. And I think that's why a lot of countries say this is not Islamic. They're trying to disassociate the Muslim world from them so that people stop joining them. And I think that's the sensitive part, is it could bring a lot of Muslims. Over a billion people are, you know, there's over a billion Muslims. It could bring a lot of supporters if it's not handled properly.
Nagmeet, please stand by. More coming up with our great friend, Nagmeet Abedini. We urge you to keep her and her family and Pastor Saeed.
Getting more done before sunrise than anyone. Kevin Miller in the morning on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
KIDO, Kevin Miller in the morning as we continue on. Phone number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. And let's go to the phones. Our friend Gene and Cuna would like to speak to Nagmeet. Gene, good morning.
Good morning, Kevin. Good morning, Mrs. Abedini. Kevin, I don't know how many times to tell you, brother, I love you for what you do, and congratulations on the award. You deserve it, my friend. Mrs. Avenini, I had something I wanted to share with you really quick. I don't want to tie up a lot of time, but I feel the Father was telling me something the other day when I was in my prayer time, because as being a Jewish man, I pray in Hebrew and in English both. And I have prayed for Pastor Saeed many times that anybody that touches him in an inappropriate manner, harms him in any way, the judgment would befall those that do this sevenfold. And I know that probably sounds a little harsh, but these people don't care what they do to us. And even though our Messiah, Yeshua, or Jesus, suffered more than any man could ever possibly suffer, Pastor Saeed doesn't need to. But on the other side of that, the Father has him there for a reason. He has him there to speak out about the atrocities that the Prophet Muhammad has handed down to the Muslim people, if you will. But on the other side of that, there's more Muslims today coming to Messiah, Yeshua, or Jesus than there ever has been. And I do feel very strongly about this, and I'm not a prophet. Please don't take me like that. But I do feel, I was told that your husband will be released soon. He will be healthy, but he could be a lot healthier. But he will be healthy, and he will be coming home to you soon. But the thing is, I need to know. Please tell Kevin when this happens, because the minute I've told this, I'll forget about it. And it's just because it's not me, it's all him, every bit of it. But bless you, ma'am, and I'm going to keep praying for you and keep praying for Saeed and your children. And I go into my prayer closet every night. I wear a tallit. Last Saturday, I blew the shofar 7 times for your husband. And on the 8th blast of the shofar, I believe that's when the Father told me that your husband will be coming home to you soon. Just keep the faith, keep hope, and, you know, you'll be in my prayers day and night until he comes home.
Thank you. We appreciate your prayers. Thank you so much.
I just wish I had the strength that you have. I really do. But Mrs. Avenini, I'll be praying for you and Pastor Saeed constantly.
Gene, thank you, my friend. Yes, sir.
It's been a pleasure.
God bless. God bless our great friend, Gene and Cuna. Nagmaid, what goes on in your mind when you hear Gene say that? And, you know, you're very close with the Graham family. Certainly America and folks all over the world have embraced, rightfully so, the quest to get your husband released.
It's encouraging that people are remembering Saeed and prayer and their special closet moments. And prayer times, that really means a lot to me. That's what's giving me a lot of strength. I think anyone going through suffering would say it's easier when you know there's people who are standing with you during the suffering time of hardship. So this definitely makes a big difference in my life and in being able to continue. And I do hope it's soon. I do hope his release is soon.
And for the people listening here at 580KIDO, what can they do this week to support you and to support your husband, Pastor Saeed?
You know, show up at the prayer vigil on Friday evening. We made it in the evening so that people could come after work. It's at 6. There'll be candles. As it gets darker, we'll be lighting candles. And just show up and let our government know this is an important issue. And there's definitely, there'll be a lot of coverage, and so people will Boise is where we're from, so there's a lot of attention of what's happening here and the support, and so I just encourage you to come out and pray and show your support.
Well, there are a lot of people that are encouraged by you and Pastor Saeed. When you travel, please have safe travels, and you know, if there's anything else we can do, please let us know, ma'am.
Thank you. You've been a great support, Kevin. I appreciate what you're doing and your friendship. Thank you. I will be traveling to D.C., so thank you for the safe travels and your prayers.
You're racking up a lot of miles.
I am.
One day we're going to have to do a show with you where you just give us your critiques on the airlines. Now that would be something I look forward to.
Exactly. thank you. I appreciate it.
Okay, have a good day. Bye-bye.
Thank you. You too. Bye-bye.
There you have it, Nagma Dabbadini. And boy, you talk about the road that she's traveled around the country and around the world. And as we start our day here at 580KIDO, it would be responsible if the national media would pick up this story. And you have to wonder to yourselves, you know, as we start our day, this is a story that's non-political. Has the Iranian government infiltrated themselves into our mainstream media so much that CBS, ABC, NBC has not picked up this story? And you've had our congressional delegation, Jim Risch, Mike Crapo, Mike Simpson, Congressman Labrador, make the case to the president, to the State Department. Jim Risch, Senator Risch, very vocal about it here at 580KIDO and throughout the world. You've had Fox News pick this up, but why in the world have we not picked this up on the major networks? Here we have year two of this. Year two of this. Is there some pressure from our governments to give the Iranians a pass? It's very troubling. And you hear that you have this young woman, you know, right now, a single mom, she doesn't want to be. Making sure that her kids are taken care of while going to this prayer vigil with the Grahams. You have Ted Cruz, Rand Paul, others doing whatever they can to support her. And yet, no coverage from the major networks. I'd like to know why, wouldn't you? Please keep the Abedini family in your prayers. Kevin Miller, 580KIDO.
Dave Ramsey, weekdays at noon. Now back to Kevin Miller on 580KIDO. Idaho's first radio station.
Men, 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 manly men, 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 manly men, men, men,
men, men, men, manly men.
And good morning. Welcome to Friday, Friday, Friday. With Kevin Miller, Dave Burnett, the Manly Man segment. Good morning, Dave.
Good morning, Kevin.
Boy, a long day for a lot of us here at the Broadcast Center, but a worthwhile cause last night. At Foothills Christian Church.
Yep, a nice crowd turned out. I'll be honest, I was pleasantly surprised to figure with Blake Shelton going on, you know, a lot of other things. I thought, well, we'll see how it does. But a nice crowd that showed up and really some compelling stories that were told. It was like, yikes, my life's pretty good.
Well, I'll tell you, and, you know, when we talk about Blake Shelton, even in the Miller house, we had Mrs. Miller at Blake Shelton last night.
Did you?
Yeah, Mrs. Miller was at Blake Shelton.
Hmm. So she kind of passed on Mr. Miller.
And I was with you.
Yes, we were. But thanks to all the folks that showed up last time, because it really was a good crowd out. And some you know, topics that were talked about, some solutions I think that were offered up as well. So that's a good thing.
Very emotional when you have the young lady, and we'll have segments of it up at 580kido.com. Very emotional when you had Tammy, who listens to this program each and every day, and called in and left a message with Ray and asked me to ask Jan Bennett, the Ada County prosecutor, about violence against men by women.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, this is about beyond the realm of your orthodox talk shows. This is, you know, back to what Phil Donahue used to do, where you have someone that is a victim asking these folks what to do. And even our panel said, you know, we're just in the beginnings of coming up with infrastructure for men who are abused by their wives, by their spouses. And then you have, she was talking about gay men being beat up by their partners.
Mm-hmm. You know, while violence against men is not nearly as common as men being aggressive and violent to women, it is something that's not spoken about as well.
Well, and then dealing with the stigma, you know, oh, you got beat up by a girl.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's that old thing of, you know, you're not supposed to hit a woman, but if you're beaten by a woman, then that's embarrassing as well. So what, you know, what do you do? And, you know, to me, and I'm no expert in the field, but, you know, if you have a woman that's abusing a man and a man is just taking it because he knows he's not supposed to retaliate, you know, the woman needs some help as well. I mean, obviously unresolved issues in all of these cases, but the physical threat, both directions, huge, and it just needs to be addressed.
Well, and then you bring up the children. We had a young man last night talking about 3 years of being abused, 3 years of dealing with it, and then his biggest fears when he would report his parents and the people that adopted him, they would put him back into that home and having to deal with that trauma.
Yeah, and I see, and I'm going to be bluntly honest, I've not been involved in a situation of, you know, domestic violence. Really haven't. I mean, I was whooped as a kid, as we go back to, you know, the some of the conversations lately. But I was never involved in, you know, domestic violence to where I lived in fear of somebody in my house. So it's difficult when I hear this, just going, how does somebody cope with that? How does somebody, you know, how does somebody mentally get through the day? You're 7 years old and you're being abused by a father or by a mother. How does somebody cope with that? And I think that's one of the things brought out last night as well, that, you know, as somebody tries to deal with this as an adult or as a, you know, a teenager or early 20s, that, you know, they aren't going to be what you consider normal. It takes time to heal and to learn to trust.
Right. I'm with you. 580-KIDO, phone number is 580-5436, Kevin at KIDOAM.com. Other news of the day, we'll get to Eric Holder, but let's take a look at the NFL, and apparently Jeff Miller, the head of security, did get that.
Yeah, there's again, there's some dancing going on. No, I didn't. Yes, I did. No, I didn't. Yeah, you did. So, yeah, there's some definite dancing going on by the NFL as people try to, again, protect themselves.
Right. Indeed. But, you know, why are people turning on Goodell? What's the big issue? Okay, so he didn't get the tape. Whoopee. Well, I mean, you'll have to explain that to me.
I think a big part of it is I think the players don't like him and the Players Association. So they got a chance that, you know, we kind of got him on a run. We can get him. And so they're trying to get him. But the honest truth is, if he did know and he did try to cover it up, shame on him. He should be gotten. So I don't know. I don't know him. I don't know all the facts in the case. But again, if he had the information and lied, much like anyone else, you know, if Eric Holder had information on Fast and Furious and lied, that should be dealt with.
But is it the same? No. Well, I'm talking about Roger Goodell, though.
I know, but I'm saying it's the same thing. If somebody in a position of leadership has information and covering up, it should be dealt with, and they should be held accountable.
Right.
So whether it's Roger Goodell, whether it's Eric Holder, whether it's Kevin Miller, if you're in a position of authority and you're covering up and lying to save your own behind, you should be held accountable.
But it's a private organization. What did he lie about, though?
What did he lie about?
Yeah.
Well, he said that he's never seen the information, so he lied to the people within his organization.
But if if Jeff Miller saw it and protected him, then maybe he didn't see it, or he chose not to see it.
Yes, exactly. He chose not to see it.
But we're judging him on how we judge public officials. It's a private organization.
It is a private organization, but you know what? That's why the players are upset, because you know what? It's their organization. They are a part of that organization. I'm not talking about a legal court of law, but because it's such a public, visible organization, you know, it's not for me to call for his resignation because it is private, but for players and owners, it's their right to call for his resignation for covering up and not telling the truth. Don't you think?
Well, there's the truth, and then there's the truth here at 580KIDO.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm trying to phrase this in a way that that is not too much behind the curtain. You have Steve Bisciotti, who owns the Ravens, saying, hey, bro, I need you to help me out. You know, this is horrible. You don't need to see this. And this is speculation on my part. Goodell going, okay, I don't need to see this. I'll do you solid, just like... There are a lot of Pittsburgh Steelers fans here in the Treasure Valley. I think they're the nation's team, okay? And I'm not digressing too much, but when Mr. Rooney was about ready to lose the team, because the Rooneys never had majority share of the Steelers, and because they had this new rule that they were going to lose them, they'd have to sell them, Goodell kind of hoodwinked the rules with the agreement of the owners to do so to leverage it so the Rooneys could finance the acquisition of the Steelers so they would have a larger share of it. Mm-hmm. And so he's not going to tell Mr. Rooney what to do ever again, because Mr. Rooney's is, you know, Mr. Rooney employs him. Mr. Bisciotti employs him. So the idea that we're going to hold him to the same standards of the federal government, of course, you know, we'll get to that creep Eric Holder in a minute, I think is ridiculous. In fact, Dave, please correct me on this. I think it's insane that we have people in our sister network on Sports Radio 630 The Fan calling for Goodell's head. Goodell didn't punch his wife. Goodell didn't beat his kid. This all stems from holding those players accountable. Well, there's different rules for him and the players. Yeah, there's different rules for Dave Burnett. There's different rules for Kevin Miller. There's different rules for our bosses than there are for us. That's just a fact of life. Where am I wrong on this?
Well, I guess my question is this: does Roger Goodell hold any responsibility in this case whatsoever? Not in the fact that Ray Rice is a thug and beat his wife, but does he hold any responsibility in this case as to how he handled it, to the punishment doled out to Ray Rice, and to how he handled it in the public? Does he hold any responsibility at all?
Roger Goodell?
Yeah.
If I were a lawyer, and Alan L. Morton, attorney at law, will be joining us, I would say Goodell did the right thing legally by not exposing himself to it. You know, like when you talk to someone, well, this is where our conversation has to end, because if you continue on, then I'm culpable in the case. Kind of like Watergate, you know, don't tell Nixon anything, and that, because then he can have deniability. That's what I think this is. It's Goodell has deniability.
I think it's unethical. In my own personal opinion, I just think it's slimy. I do. I mean, maybe I'm wrong, but I just think it's slimy that you're suddenly not responsible because I didn't know what was going on. Come on. Really? Come on.
Well, we'll see about that. So let's go on to that creep Eric Holder. Can you call him a creep these days? I mean, here's a guy that spied on reporters, held in contempt of Congress, and these aren't right-wing talking points. This is just how it is, and I'm sure maybe someone will have, I'm sure Sean will, the best of Eric Holder. I mean, he gets into office and says we're a nation of cowards when it comes to race. What is that about? I mean, the attorney general, okay, he may not have to be objective because he represents the administration, but why are you political? Why are you polarizing, you know?
Well, I find it fascinating how, and I was listening to a show overnight on my way in, and they were just playing the difference between donkeys and elephants and Eric Holder. And if you were to not sit back and watch all this, you would think they were talking about two completely different people. I mean, one side saying, not soon enough, hit the road, Jack. The other side saying, the guy's a saint and he's done a great deal to help make this a better union. I was stunned as I listened to the audio and the contrast between those on the left and those on the right about one man. It was pretty astounding to me.
Right. Well, getting back to Eric Holder, though.
That's who I was talking about.
I know, okay. No, but you're kind of going one way. Let me go back to this. Let me frame this question here at 580KIDO. I don't think it was his choice to go.
I don't think so either.
And, you know, that's a victory. And let's go back to what he said to Congressman Labrador when he goes, where are you from? I don't know where you're from. Dismissive. Idaho or something? What's that about? I mean, the lack of respect that this man had for Congress.
Yeah, he had no respect. He had no respect for Congress. I mean, that's, you know, but I get back to it again. I mean, on what, but yet there's people out there on the liberal side that think he was wonderful for this country. They've said so.
Right. He's wonderful. I'm trying to figure out what he did, how he treated the folks in Ferguson. Here, we have the clip here. Thank you, Sweet William, for pulling this up at 580KIDO. Let's go to this here.
I hope not.
I just say one thing.
Yes, sir.
In response to Mr. Labrador.
Of course.
That was among the worst things I think I've ever seen in Congress. You took a whole series of statements out of context, with no context.
With all due respect, the worst thing I've ever seen.
The gentleman's time has expired.
And, you know, I was the Mark Rich thing was considered in my confirmation. Talked about it then. There's a whole bunch of things that I could say about what you just did, and maybe this is the way you do things from, you know, in Idaho or wherever you're from. But under
your thoughts. Oh, the buzz is back. Your thoughts. Go ahead, please.
He is a man that saw himself as being above everybody else, you know, and I don't know if that was a, if that's within his personality or if that came because of the position that went to his head. I don't know. You know, I don't know, but that's just, that's the kind of speak that is just very belittling. I don't know if that's how it is where you came from, Kevin Miller. Or whatever that place is where you come from, Kevin Miller. You know, that's, it's just berating. And it's a person who's in a position, of really thinking they're a bigger deal than they are.
It's the thoughts of someone who knows that he can't be fired because his boss loves him. So you can behave inappropriately. I don't know where you're from. I don't really care. Like your boss has your back. Like, you know, the whole joke about, well, he must have pictures of him with such and such.
Mm-hmm.
That's, and to me, that's where Eric Holder crossed the line. Fast and furious. Now, thanks to our friends at Judicial Watch, they're going to have to release those things.
And I think that's part of the reason he's gone. Yeah, because the president coming up to midterm elections has got a clean house. He's got to look, you know, above reproach. And I think my personal feeling is that that's part of the reason he's gone or is going. He's not gone yet. And they've got to get something done before because they if they lose control of the Senate, they're in deep, deep trouble. The administration is of trying to get a replacement because it'll be opposed. They will try to change that rule back to where it doesn't take 51 votes. It takes 60 votes for confirmation. So they know they've got to get something switched and they got to get it done before the elections.
It's all about these elections. Now, let me hit you with this one more thing here at 580KIDO.
Quickly, yes.
Do you think that this war thing has anything to do with the election?
Can we save that till Monday? That's a huge topic.
Yeah.
All right. Traffic now, Kevin, as you're coming out of...
Kevin Hannity, weekdays at 3. Now, back to Kevin Miller on 580KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
580KIDO coming up next. Remembering Eric Holder, Alan L. Morton, attorney at law, will be with us. We'll debate that, talk about our forum last night, and get you started on this soon-to-be wet Friday. Rain, what's that? It's coming up next. Good morning.